Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the 5280 Studios, Weekend Geek Update, Spotlight Edition, with the one and only, the man that is a horror fetish beyond any other that I have seen or witnessed, Joe Oliver, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello.
How's that for an intro? Have you added really anything new to the horror collection? Horror, not whore.
Like my own personal?
Yeah.
A couple viewings of stuff, like just saw The Endless at Alamo, which is like a companion piece to the indie film Resolution. That was really good.
Is there a horror film out there that you haven't seen that you would love to, but you don't know how you're going to do it?
Oh, wow.
Or have you seen every horror film to date ever made?
I wish. I watch a lot of schlock, and you have to get through it to find those gems. There's nothing yet. I've always found a way to like watch the ones that I've wanted.
What was the hardest one for you to see?
Probably at the time it was The Void. The Astron 6 crew out of Canada. And now I believe it's on like Netflix streaming. But a couple years ago, it was only playing at Fantastic Fest. And I didn't have a ticket. I couldn't afford it. But then my buddy was working for Fango at the time. And they needed someone else to help do like journalism and photography. And I was going to draw instead of doing photos for the articles. And so I got to go out to Fantastic Fest, and I caught the movie.
Wow. That's cool. I don't need a camera. I'm going to sketch everything
for
you.
And it was a lot more work than I thought.
That is insane. But your talent, I mean, your talent is overflowing. I am constantly taken back by the skill that you have and the fact that you are not on a book, a monthly title. Absolutely blows me away.
Well, thank you very much.
I mean, because I can't. Joe, where does it come from? Because I mean, goddamn, you are like a bona fide genius. Oh. It comes from his hands. Yeah, you're funny.
Sometimes, like, if I can, I know I'm going to go off on like a weird tangent.
No.
So I apologize in advance.
No.
My brain doesn't shut off and. It started, you know, when I was a kid, like, finding, I think I've told this story a bunch, but two things, like, helped inspire, like, the horror stuff. And one was my aunt worked at a video store in the 80s. And she would, whenever they would retire, like, old VHS movies, you know, they'd just toss them out. Like, if the boxes or if there was... the tracking was off or whatever.
Right.
And so they'd have these giant trash bags of movies and she would bring them home and pick the ones that she wanted and then toss the rest. And I found out that if it didn't have a cover, I could tell by the font on the VHS, which ones were horror movies. And so I snuck a lot of horror movies in, and that's always been like priceless to me. I watched Phantasm, Return of the Living Dead, like it was mind-blowing.
But I almost think that the horror films on VHS are so far superior to like the Blu-ray and the remastered versions, because I think part of the cool factor for older horror film is the cheesiness, is the camp, the pop, you know, just the scratchy looking visual from VHS.
It adds something like textural to it, definitely.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. And there's I kind of have, like, a weird, like, idea about that. Like, one, it's definitely because it was this old, like, tactile media, mm-hmm. like way of viewing it. And the other thing, I think it comes from, I don't know, practical effects. The other thing is when you would watch a movie back in the day, like you didn't have the internet to go like searching for like this, like, you know, specific movie. And so ones that you would come across or ones that local places had, you were invested, you know, like even if the movie sucked, you were like, I'm going to watch this because I spent the time.
Right.
Like, picking
I just spent $5 to yep, rent this
exactly.
thing. So I'm going to watch it. Cause I mean like some of the old Christopher Lee films.
Oh, the Hammer stuff.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That is, I mean, I can't watch that digitally remastered.
Yeah.
I mean, even like Phantasm, you know, mm-hmm. I can't watch that, but the Christopher Lee stuff just is so visceral when you watch it on a VHS that you're just like, ooh, it just creeps you out just even watching it.
I love it. I love it so much. And I just went on like a stranger rant to a stranger last night about the Hammer stuff. They're like, oh, what's the era that you love the most? And I was like, it's hard to put down, but right now I'm into the Hammer horror again. And I was like, they had great storytelling and boobs and blood and yeah, the strangers don't like hearing about that stuff, but
I mean, you know, it's part of the genre back then. I mean, that is how it worked. And I want to say I think the first pair of boobies I saw was in a horror film. So
yeah, amen.
You too. It reads like yeah, her too. So best horror star for you?
Oh man.
Or do you want me to narrow it down? I mean, we can do like the Godfathers. Geez. We've got like Peter Cushing, Christopher Lee. We can go Vincent Price.
Yeah,
Vincent. Yeah. I guess we'll throw Vincent Price. He's my favorite.
I love Vincent Price, but he's always Vincent Price.
He is always Vincent Price. I mean, even with that bad. Dead Again with Joe Piscopo, and he plays that eccentric old guy. It's very bad, but it's still Vincent.
Yeah.
Why can't you kill him?
I've always liked the Lee and Cushing pair ups.
It's hard to beat that.
Yeah.
It's like the Abbott and Costello of
right.
horror. Even though Abbott and Costello did their fair amount of horror.
I wish... Man, damn, that's a really good question. I can't pare it down, though. I'd want to see different actors and actresses in more movies, but they... Like, I wish Kurt Russell did more horror.
That would be cool.
Like seeing him in The Thing, you know, very young, and I probably have like I watch it 3 times a year at least.
So wow, you watch The Thing 3 times a year.
Yeah, I love it. The pacing is perfect. The creature effects, like fucking practical, like it's awesome.
For the time, yes. I mean, I was so disappointed when they revisited
it,
and I was like hoping that we'd see something, especially like the dog. What's that dog doing down there?
Yeah, you know, thank you for saying revisited, because it totally wasn't a prequel or a remake. And
no.
It was just, yeah.
I was very upset. But no, I would like to say, I am sad that Kurt Russell did go the action star, because mm-hmm. then you got like Escape from New York and...
Yeah. And those are rad, you know, but I saw him a few years ago in Bone Tomahawk, that Western,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to give anything away, but there's some horrific moments, and it just made me like, man, I wish he was in more. Same with Lou Taylor Pucci, who was in the remake of Evil Dead.
Oh, yes.
Like, he's... a wonderful actor, and yeah, I wish he was in more stuff. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who was in that Thing remake or revisit. Yeah, she's great, and I check out her indie stuff too, and there was this horror slash thriller called Faults, I believe, where she played a member of a cult, and her range is great. She was in that new Fargo.
Mm-hmm. The new series?
Yeah, like season 3, I believe. But yeah, I'd like to see more horror stuff.
Speaking of that, I want, and I, after I saw this film, I immediately thought of you, and I wanted to call you in the middle of the night, but I figured you'd thought that would be weird.
That's my daytime.
Shape of Water. I walked out of that film going, oh my God, if Joe Oliver has not seen this yet.
In a good way?
Yes. Because I honestly...
I appreciate that.
I was like, this is Creature from the Black Lagoon, modernized and just full of such visual... Wow.
Yes. Yes. I want to love that movie, and I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Why is that?
Well, there's a few things. Like, Del Toro, like, does this thing where he has, like, a really great idea or a bunch of great ideas. He's got a great creature workshop, and he has, like, the actors and the effects. And then he... I don't want to say slips up because he's actually making movies. I'm not, but like he does this thing. He gets caught up on set pieces and things that he wants to show as opposed to like pacing for the film,
mm-hmm.
Films. And also like Pan's Labyrinth ran into it as well, where they had these great practical effects and you can use CG to like enhance different things. But as soon as there's something that's straight CG, it takes me out of the storytelling. And, like, I always go back to is Devil's Backbone,
mm-hmm.
Which was a great film, and it was simple. It, like, very early for him.
That's extreme. I think that's his second film?
Yeah, was it Kronos was the first?
Yeah.
Yeah, and both of those are great.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a scene in fucking Devil's Backbone where, like, the whole movie's been great. And the ghost peers through this keyhole, and it's this CG eyeball. And I'm like, you could have drawn an eyeball on a napkin, and that would have like worked better than this like poorly done CG. And it just, it takes me out of it.
Because, I mean, I like, sometimes, I think he's gotten better with his pacing, because when I got to the end of Pan's Labyrinth, I was extremely let down. The ending was just so, it was such a buildup, and then just to have that kind of like, meh,
yeah.
ending. I didn't care so much for it. I mean, it's still, again, the creature effects, like you say,
yeah. are visually,
spectacular.
It's super epic.
Yes.
But then story-wise, you're, yeah, it's meh, okay.
You're like, all right, that just kind of, all that buildup for that. Okay, great. So you weren't, was it more of the storytelling for Shape of Water, or is it just the whole premise?
No, the premise was cool, and I really liked, you know, the different settings he had, and it definitely felt like in old Hollywood. I don't feel as though... I don't feel as though a lot of the relationships, and not to sound too fucking cliche, but like a lot of the motivations, I didn't feel like they were explored enough. And the villain was that Michael Shannon?
I think so.
Yeah, he was 10 times more interesting to me than the love story.
I did like his luck just sucked. I mean, the Cadillac side story
right.
was hilarious. The fingers that just was
slowly like rot. And
yeah,
it was a good like allegory for his like attitude and overall morale.
Yeah,
like,
his overall just human essence. You know, he's just rotting from the inside.
Yeah,
I mean, I did like him. He is probably one of the big takeaways from that in his performance.
And sorry, Abe Sapien 2.0, like they could have done anything for the creature, and it was like a beefed up Abe.
It was a beefed up Abe.
And yeah, and Doug Jones is like
We've had him on the show.
Awesome.
I got to chat him up before Shape of Water was released.
And he always does a great job, so I'm not like citing him.
His performance was freaking amazing.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He sold sitting in a bathtub to me.
I mean, yeah. Everything he does, I'm like, I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, I have watched some of the Star Trek Discovery just because Doug Jones is in it. Like, okay.
Hell yeah.
That's the only reason, but that's it.
I think there was just a lot of little things, and the, like, Del Toro, like, he gets sidetracked a lot, and, like, things that don't necessarily add to the story, they're just visually pleasing. He puts in a lot, and it just... he gets away from, I think, what idea he's trying to get across.
So do you think the new Hellboy, since he's not going to be doing it, will be better or worse?
I was about to be mean and say as long as there's no drunken sing-alongs. Or, like, silly fucking love stories. But I think it's going to be rad.
Like, I mean, David Harbour looks pretty impressive as Hellboy.
He looks fucking awesome. The, like, stone fist looking like a metal fist is, like, a...
interesting.
Yeah, but that's... it could be cool. And for them to go, like, horror with it as opposed to, like, adventure, I think that'll be good.
I'm waiting to see.
I want it to be dark.
I really want it to... I want it to be, like, Hellboy Goes to Hell dark.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And that was such a good ending to that series.
Yes.
Like, it just kind of fades away to myth. Are you reading BPRD at all?
I'm so far behind on BPRD.
I'm also very far behind, but I've read, like, a shit ton of the books.
Yes.
And, like, it's... yeah, Hell on Earth is crazy. But sorry, yeah.
No. We could talk about Hellboy for hours. Is there a horror film that you're looking forward to this summer, or have you seen one already? Because that one with the silence, the they can't make a noise, the monster eats them.
Yeah, Quiet Place.
Quiet Place. What do you think? Did you see it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. I mean, yeah.
I like that you're fighting for something nice to say about it.
The creature was cool. The creature was cool.
Was it worth the build-up?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. And a lot of silly things about that, like, flood out of nowhere. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm being really negative about stuff.
Now you're taking Red's role tonight.
I wanted that movie to be better, and I don't know. I don't know what happened. I think I don't know if he got free rein to do what he wanted. I don't know Krasinski that well. Is that his last name?
Yeah,
John Krasinski. Jim from The Office.
Jim from The Office.
I want some better horror. And I don't know if people are just afraid to tell, like, not even traditional stories, but are afraid to tell more personal stories, or they get bogged down by, like, Hollywood BS.
I think so. I mean, you can't make a horror PG-13.
Right.
That just doesn't translate.
And, like, some things, like, I enjoyed that Ringu remake, that The Ring, with Naomi Watts.
Right.
Like, I enjoyed that, and that was PG-13, but I think that was more because it was, like, a slower burn. There were, like, specific set pieces, and it was this, like...
and the chicken that was just twisted.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. Twisted.
Yeah, and, like, the... is it crass to say money shot?
No.
Does that only refer to porn?
I don't think so.
Okay. Sorry. But yeah, the, like, payoff.
There
Sorry.
You go.
The payoff in that, yeah. things like that, when she crawls out of the television, like, I had no idea what was coming. And so when that happened, I was like, oh my God, she's, it's real.
You're like, oh!
It's more than like a haunting. And so doing things like that and like not relying on jump scares and schlocky soundtracks.
An actual story, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want people to give a shit.
So speaking of people giving a shit, your art, you have a huge passion for. And you've got a new project that you're working on. Now, can you talk about the project?
Are you talking bunny ears?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm doing tons of different stuff. So the bunny ears thing is actually Macaulay Culkin's new site called Bunny Ears, and it's a satirical like lifestyle blog. And my buddy was actually writing for them, and they needed designs for some of their merch. And so, yeah, I indirectly got hooked up and have been doing shirt designs and enamel pen designs, some article illustration. But yeah, it's been really cool. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of work, because my buddy mostly, I've just been helping, but screen printing shirts. Yeah, it's been nonstop.
So what's the premise of Bunny Ears? Because, I mean, this is Cully McCulkin's, like, brainchild baby that he's been working on for a while now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. He's got, like, two main facets of it. There's the website, which he contributes. He also, like, hires out, like, a bunch of different writers to do these different, articles. And they're lifestyle articles. And it's all satire.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other facet is they have a Bunny Ears podcast with him and Matt Cohen. And, yeah, they're just buds that chat.
They just hang out?
Yeah, they just hang and chat about different stuff.
Okay. I can honestly say I've never listened to his podcast.
It's fun. It's
friends. I'm not hanging. An elitist.
But it's... Yeah, it's cool. It's cool, and like I appreciate that they are giving people the avenue to express different fun ideas, you know, that they would want to write. It gives them a place to put this stuff.
Hmm.
And they really, so far, they believe in like the creators. They believe in like the writers and artists. And they trust us to do stuff, and they say more yay than nay on designs, you know?
Oh, wow. So completely creator-driven.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So have you interacted at all with Mr. McCulkin?
Not directly, but indirectly, like one degree away from my buddy. Like, he's like, hey, they want this. And then I give it to him. He shows it to him. And they're like, change this. And then I do. And he's like, they love it. I'm like, cool.
You're like, awesome.
Yeah.
So are they going to fly you out to meet him at any time? Or is it just kind of you mail it in and...
Yeah, just
it's good.
Send in like emails and stuff. Hopefully I can show up at one of their shindigs. I think some of them might. I don't actually. Red flag. I can't talk about that.
No, nope, that's fine. I understand. NDAs. Yeah. NDAs, baby. They drive the world.
But yeah, I think I will be meeting him at some point.
That'll be awesome. Are you excited about that? I mean, you're the good son. As soon as I, you know,
yeah.
Think of him, I think of that more than Home Alone.
He seems more down to earth than... I think it'll be a lot easier meeting him than other people I've met. A few years ago, and this has kind of become like a... I don't know, underground talk, is I had a run-in with Neil Adams...
Who hasn't had a run-in with Neil Adams?
Yeah, so that guy.
What was the run-in? It can't be any worse than what Red did to him last year.
Can I hear about that?
Yeah, we'll talk about that off mic.
Oh, God.
We've shared about that story on the podcast already.
Okay, I should probably talk about this off mic as well. But like,
did you damage his delicate ego?
No, he. Tried to damage mine, and he hadn't seen my artwork, and just went long story short, he went on this rant for like 20 minutes about how I wasn't going to make it. And like, it could have been coming from a place of love, like, hey, if I give this artist something to fight against, he'll like make it. I don't know.
That's not his motivation, and you know that.
Yeah, I know.
We all know that.
Because like 10 minutes into the rant, he went on to his Hollow Earth theory and reptilians, and there a crowd had formed, and and this was years ago. He might have changed. I love his artwork.
No, and hands down, I mean, love his artwork. Yeah. He's the whole reason I got into Batman.
Right, right.
You know, Green Lantern after that. I mean, I can't argue with his art style. However, him as an individual, I have some issues with.
That was a really good way to put that. Yes.
Because it was a huge letdown, because when I finally got to meet him, mm-hmm. It was early on in my con going years, so you know, I had the rule never meet your heroes,
right?
But I was willing to bypass it to meet Neil, and it was just the worst, biggest letdown ever. He could have given two shits less.
Yep.
I tried talking to him, mm-hmm. and no one was in his line. He's just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, I'll take advantage of this.
This is perfect opportunity.
Exactly.
Like, we can shoot the shit. I'll ask him how his day's going.
Exactly. It just nonsensical, non-pressure questions. Just a conversation. Nothing. I mean, he wasn't having any of it. And I'm just like, you dick.
And a lot of people tell me, yeah, I fucking feel you. And a lot of people say, you know, don't meet your heroes. That's legit advice. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, they're just people too. And I'm like, yeah, but shitty people are shitty people. And I'm not saying, sorry.
It's hard to say because I have met him again. He doesn't remember me. And I mean, that's fine. I'm not expecting him to remember me. But, you know, I've gotten other things signed, my Batman mm-hmm. black and white statue by him. And this is the weird thing. So I have him sign the base of the statue. And he goes on to this 20-minute conversation with me about his art and doing all this work and then working with his son, and his son's down the way and has got the Man-Bat statue down there for sale if I want him to sign that. And it was just like this huge, huge interaction. And I'm like, I didn't even say two things to the guy.
Oh,
and I mean,
man.
It's just night and day. Red Red insulted him because she's like, I don't shit who Arthur, or, you know, who Neil Adams is.
Hell yeah.
he's a big baby. And it was... the guy with us is like, this is my hero. And Red's like, yeah, I ain't having none of that. Whatever.
Because people are people.
People
like
are people. Exactly.
That's awesome.
Is there an artist out there that you want to meet? Someone you look up to?
There's different artists that I appreciate the hell out of. And there was a few artists on my list. And now there's quite a few. And it would just be cool to shoot the shit with him and talk techniques and stuff. Like, I met Sean Gordon Murphy a few years ago.
Ooh.
And it was before one of the conventions, mm-hmm. and we were just chatting. And, you know, I was asking him about these different techniques, and I was like, hey, so did you use, like, you know, you can see his fingerprints in his work, like, literally.
Right.
And I was asking him about splatters and, like, different perspective stuff that he did, and he seemed to open up about that, so it was nice to nerd out about techniques, and that was cool. I think Francisco Francavalia would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
He does like all those tons of stuff. Like, I think he did all the covers for Afterlife with Archie, mm-hmm. and Sabrina.
Yeah, the Afterlife series was so amazing.
Yeah. And his stuff is it's deceptively simple. And his color choices, and he totally takes, you know, a page from the old horror stuff. And I think that's why I connect to it. Like, he knows composition
mm-hmm.
and form so well. He can do it with it seemingly
looks,
ease.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks easy. It's not like Wrightson or anything, but I mean, it is very, very crisp style.
Wrightson was on my list.
Yeah, Wrightson is just, oh. Mm. Do you often get the chance to talk technique or style with artists on that caliber and that style?
Not often. Like, kind of live under a rock most times.
That's not true. I have seen you a lot out already this season.
There's been a couple cons.
You've been out more. I think I've seen you more this year than I did last year combined.
I'm trying to get out in the daylight.
Yes, you need to work on your tan.
Yeah. Feeling pasty. But yeah, I mean, you know, I try not to freak out or, yeah, make people feel uncomfortable nerding out about their stuff. But there's a lot of local cats, too, that I appreciate their work, and I try not to nerd out when I meet them.
Yeah, it's hard not to nerd out around Stan, because I do love his...
He's just a powerhouse.
That man is a machine.
Yeah.
And we've had him on multiple times.
Like,
and
just constant, like, and he's everywhere. And
yes.
He's just constant workflow.
Mm-hmm. Were you anywhere for a Free Comic Book Day this last weekend?
No, I wasn't. I was planning on it, and I just, due to some personal stuff, I just decided to step out.
Sit it out?
Yeah.
It's a little maddening, and as so many stores there are around town, there are still lines around the building, which I find absolutely mind-blowing, but it's encouraging for the comic industry.
It's nice to see the community, like, growing,
and mm-hmm.
I've been saying that for years, that we have, like, a really strong comics community, and there's just, like, the once, like, small pockets of people are now growing to, you know... Like, oh, you should check out this shop, and like everyone's really supportive of each other.
It is.
I really like that.
So, speaking of con season, you got a table coming up at any of the new cons? You got Denver Comic Con coming up here in a couple months. No?
No, not Denver.
No.
I appreciate the hell out of what that does for the community, for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people that don't normally go to conventions, it's big enough. They're like, let's go to this one. It's huge. They bring out a lot of really cool guests. Yeah, so I appreciate it for that.
Right.
Stuff like Dink or...
Dink was great.
Yeah.
How did you do it, Dink?
Fantastic. I did really well, and, like, actually, I was there with my buddy Elijah for mm-hmm. Laser Party, our company that we have together, and, yeah, like, people are just, everyone, one, a lot of people show up, and two, like, everyone's there to support, like, indie stuff. They're like, yeah, I want something unique, and everyone there has, like, personal work, you know?
Right. Well, and they're passionate about it.
Exactly.
They're not Neil Adams dialing it in. You know, mm-hmm. they're there because they love the industry.
And it's great to see. It is great to see that passion and that, like, people giving a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what it is, whether it's, like, artwork, like, prints and stuff, or originals, or comics, like, indie comics, zines, there's fucking everything. And... yeah, it's beautiful. Like, so, yeah, Dink is rad.
Did you get a chance to hang out with Leguizamo? Or at least rub elbows?
No, but funny thing about that, when they were getting him set up, I was talking to Jim Norris over at Mutiny.
Mm-hmm.
They're set up, and he's like, oh, yeah, they're going to move John Leguizamo. And I was like, oh, that's rad. And I was like, maybe I should ask him about the pest, you know, pester him about the pest, like making this shitty, shitty, stupid pun joke. And I turn around and fucking 99.9% lookalike to John Leguizamo is standing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I was joking, man. And he's like, no, it's all right. And I was like, dude, I am. Wait, you're not Leguizamo. He's like, what? I don't think he knew who John Leguizamo was.
So he was clueless.
He was clueless, and he looked like a fucking twin. Like a slightly, slightly unfinished clone.
He came out of the stew a little too early.
Yeah, yeah. He was, like, maybe slightly taller. Had, like, yeah, it was really fucking weird and really surreal. And I was like, I thought you were John Leguizamo. He's like, who? No, man. I'm like,
I'm Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry.
Leguizamo. And I was like, yeah, okay, dude. But Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to the real one.
Oh,
I just
God.
Had that strange Twilight Zone interaction. Yeah.
So what you said you have a company going on. Tell me about that. What's that all about?
Yeah, Laser Party. So a few years ago, me and my buddy Elijah Taylor, who's a writer, we would have these like weekly meetings and work on, you know, different personal projects, and we're like, man, we really, let's get something going on.
Team up.
Yeah. And we'd always wanted to work together, and we'd done some like short stuff together, and we're really into artwork. And so we decided to make this company originally to do movie posters for movies that didn't exist. And we're like, yeah, we can do this like badass artwork, and we'll write the synopsis of the film.
I got so many ideas that I want to give you right now for this.
It's and so when people see this movie poster, like it would inspire all this like, you know, nostalgia for, you know, yeah, for.
I think we may see some future commissions in your line of work there, Joe, because yeah, I got some ideas.
Yes. And it was really cool. We did a couple of the local horror fest,
mm-hmm.
and totally had people come up, and they're like, oh, man, you guys have a poster for, like, we had this Canadian artist, Matt Tarian, who's amazing. He's a fucking great painter and artist, but he did this poster called The Incinerator, and it totally looks like an 80s slasher where this guy uses like a flamethrower to charbroil people, and it's like he did this painted poster and it looks like a VHS cover, and this guy came over and he's like, oh, you guys have a poster for Incinerator, like I love that film. And we're like,
you're looking at each other like, what the fuck,
oh man.
What's your what's your favorite part?
Yeah. He's like, yo, it's really hard to find, and like,
have you seen the director's?
Yeah, exactly. There's like a missing 16 minutes, and I fucking love that, and like, yeah, more power. Like maybe he did think he saw this fucking film, and like doing posters like that strong that it inspires like. Mismemory. Yeah, I think that's lovely. But we did a few projects with that, and then skip ahead to now. We're doing everything from posters to like enamel pens, which I got my werewolf on right now.
I saw that right next to the Misfits.
Yeah.
Button. Yep.
Yeah, and we just want to do genre inspired art and product, and so we're working on some comics, more posters, pens. We're doing t-shirts now.
Sweet.
And we have a whole line of shirts called This Shirt is Haunted that feature ghosts. Also, each shirt comes with 5 hauntings.
Nice.
But yeah, like I love it, and people have been really supportive. And because I think they feel the genuineness behind like stuff that we're doing.
Right. Nice. Well, Joe, we're about at the end of this ride. How do the fans at home get to follow you, keep up with what's going on, and see you at your next? Well, not everyone is as plugged in as you, Red.
I'm not plugged in. I'm just creepy.
Yes, that's your number one fan right there.
Thank you.
He said in that, I'll be filing the restraining order.
Oh, no. Like, if I had an actual stalker, like, I'd fucking make them breakfast. Like, that's fucking awesome. Like, we could eat people together. Like, that's fine.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think I'd probably creep out a stalker.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I'm like, you left me raw meat? Like, I'll cook it. Like, that's... Come inside.
I'll make this up. What do you like? What's your seasoning of choice?
You can sniff my boxers after dinner. It's fine. But yeah, I Joe Oliver Arts on Instagram and Facebook also. I also apologize because I am very, very bad about posting stuff, but I tried. I I try
you
to
are busy.
I try to interact with people, and it's a my irresponsibility is like a combination of being really busy on stuff, but then also like self-doubt when like, oh, I should post this sketch I'm doing or this project I finished, and I'm like, fuck, like I kind of suck. So
what?
Yeah,
dude,
it's,
you know,
one
it's
of
funny
those things.
Because you are like, when anytime anyone talks about their artists around town, like you say, there's a couple of artists. Your name always comes up around the artists around town. You
That's
know that, right?
Crazy.
Everybody loves your style and your presence. So you are considered one of the upper top shelf artists around town.
That's,
dude.
Do you want to smell his boxers?
I don't want to smell his boxers. I will, however,
I
let him cook
lot.
Me some meat.
Yeah, yeah, I love cooking.
So I'm in.
And semi-jokingly, if anyone has a line on human flesh, drop me a line.
Don't encourage her.
I don't know like how far I can take that without it being like a thing, but I am serious.
Yes, you've now just added to the FBI's list. No, just kidding.
No, yeah,
that's
I'm not
great.
Talking like murdering anybody.
No, of course not.
Holy shit. I had a conversation about eating human flesh.
What?
2 weeks ago on another...
Another podcast?
Anyways.
You can say that. That's fine. We know there's other podcasts out there.
Oh, I just meant about talking about eating.
Oh. They taste like chicken, I hear. That's fine. I think. I don't know.
Oh, man. Be so down.
I'm in. Closer to pork? Okay. Excellent. Well, there you go. Cool. Now we know what human skin tastes like. Flesh. What were you on a podcast that you were talking about eating people?
So I was having a conversation outside of the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And they were across the way, and they're like, hey, so we overheard your conversation about eating people. And I was like, oh, no, I haven't eaten anybody. I was just talking about that I would. And they're like, you want to talk about that? And I was like, sure, I don't care, yeah. Because it's a legit thing, and I'm not talking about murdering anybody,
no.
But, like, if someone was into it...
If it was at a buffet, I'd try it.
Yeah, and I'd want to talk to this chef first, and, like...
So how long did you let this marinate for?
No, exactly. And, like, you'd probably want to do a roast or a steak first, because you want to get the flavor of the meat to see, like, what you can do.
Yeah, no, how does that play
and
into
on how
it?
They die, I hear.
Yeah, see? Just like questions that need answering.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be curious.
And questions that need eating.
That's right.
I had placenta pate years ago, and it was horrendous.
It doesn't sound appetizing, but...
No, and it might have been the prep, but...
Yeah, it's very runny with the prep.
It was... No, sorry. I didn't prep it. Gail had just had her baby, and
oh,
yeah, had a recipe from some tribe that she had stayed with, and totally presented this dish, and it was not for me.
You're like, I'll try it.
Yeah,
and you tried it.
Yeah, I. Because when are you going to get the chance?
Never.
Right.
Exactly. You're like, not one that I would think of. So I'm like, yeah, I'll give it a try. Like haggis. I tried that. And I was just like, yeah, not my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Too chewy?
Yeah, kind of chewy.
You don't really like oatmeal.
I'm not a fan of oatmeal. So,
it's like wheat snot.
Yeah. It's just like,
it's like cream of wheat.
Mushy, runny.
He hasn't had oatmeal.
Bleh. Yes, I haven't had Red's oatmeal yet.
Now it sounds weird.
Do you guys have any allergies?
No.
Yes.
Well, she does. She can't eat chicken. No poultry.
All right. Then, yeah. Power to the people.
Power to the people. Quite literally. All righty, Joe. Well, we'll let you get out of here.
Cool. Thank you guys very much.
Buddy, thank you for sitting in. What's your next con? Where are you going to be at?
Oh, I think the next one on the docket is Unicorn Fest, which is happening locally at Clement Park late June, I want to say.
Okay.
And, yeah, I think it's a celebration of fun and fucking unicorns.
Something I've always wanted to do. All right, so... We'll look for you there, Joe. We'll follow you on the Facebooks and the Instagrams. Thank you for sitting in, buddy.
Cool. Thank you guys very much.
Take care, because in the end, we're all stories, so make it a good one.